It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porther with you on this rainy Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The roadway's a little wet out there, so make sure you're being careful on your drive into work, home from work, wherever you may be going on this Monday morning. It's a little slick out there. Joe Rex Road, how we doing? What's going on?
Yep, leave a little extra time. Doing okay. Interesting drive over. Interesting weekend. Packed weekend.
Yes.
Had a football injury mishap, was not a fracture for 13-year-old Brennan, which is actually a rarity. So
it's been a rarity this year, for
yeah.
sure.
So, doing all right, man. How about you? I like your shirt.
Doing good. Got the We're Vibin' Robbie shirt on today from Journey Risk True. You can check that out on the live stream, on Periscope, on YouTube, on Twitch as well. The shirts are available, and I got to tell you, they look good. They feel good.
I mean, that's a majestic, you know, when you see it in person.
Yeah.
Look at that. Porth, look at that. Look at that Robbie face on that yeah. shirt. Look at that.
Who wouldn't want to have my face on their body at all times?
And that beard, you know, like, I mean, again, like, you look like a Scottish lord from the 1700s.
That's from the nicest thing anybody's ever said about me. I appreciate it.
Like the dude, it's the one guy, the dad who gets killed, right?
Yes.
No.
Spoiler alert.
No, it's his son.
Oh, it's his son?
Yeah, his son with the long, strangly hair and the beard.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Okay, I'm going to have to. I'm gonna have to.
The dad gets his hand cut off. The son
ruining
is
the
like William
Braveheart.
Wallace's like best friend.
I got no sympathy if you haven't seen Braveheart
That's
yet.
True.
It
did come
in
out
the year
like
2021. Yeah. Check it out. You'll see.
You'll see Robbie.
You'll see Robbie.
We got a lot to get to today. The Nashville Predators, a massive, massive win on Saturday night against the Dallas Stars. I know the two of you were in the building as well, and it just felt like the atmosphere was incredible on Saturday night at Bridgestone Arena. We'll get to that coming up here in just a few minutes. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Corey Curtis joining us at 8 o'clock from News 2. 9 o'clock, Darren McFarland drops by as well. Got the Rex rant coming your way at 7:45. So a lot to get to today here on the program. And we begin, Joe Rex Road, on the 2021 NFL draft for the Tennessee Titans. Now, we talked about on Friday the selection of Caleb Farley and what happened there with the risks that some believe the Titans have taken with Caleb Farley. Some people think he's going to be just fine and he's going to go out there and be a great pick for the Titans from day one. And now we sit here on Monday morning and the Titans have addressed offensive tackle. They addressed the linebacker position in the third round, which I found to be very, very interesting when it comes to this draft. Monty Rice from Georgia being selected in the third round. Elijah Molden, another corner, selected with pick number 100. Rashad Weaver from Pittsburgh in the fourth round. Racy McGrath, who is immediately on the all-name team at wide receiver in the sixth round, and then another member of the all-name team, Brady Breeze, in the sixth round, pick 215, a safety out of Oregon. So, all in all, you've got Farley in the first round, Radens in the second round, I hope I'm saying that right, out of North Dakota State. Is it Radens?
I think it's Radens.
Radens. There we go. Dylan Radens out of North Dakota State in the second round, the offensive tackle. Monty Rice, Elijah Molden, Rashad Weaver, Racy McGrath, and Brady Breeze. That is the 2021 draft class for the Tennessee Titans. What did you think of this draft for the Titans? And particularly, we'll kind of go pick by pick later in the show and give our grades. What were your thoughts on Monty Rice being selected with pick number 92, linebacker out of Georgia?
Yeah, I mean, that's the stunner for me. Not that they would address linebacker, that they didn't, you know, address something else earlier. We talked about it a million times. You go by your board, and if your board says this player, even if it's not a more pressing need than another player, is better than that player, take the player you think is better. It's just by all analysis going in the draft, you know, the Titans could have gotten Monty Rice later. Maybe they had information that that wasn't true. I mean, teams work a lot on trying to figure out what other teams are doing and interviewing and what they, you know, I mean, there's a lot of, not just misinformation, but there's a lot of work to try to figure out what other teams are thinking. So maybe they had information that they needed to get him there, but to me, they could have gotten him later, and you're basically drafting in a very prominent spot a number four linebacker. I mean, that's what he is at this point. Now, is he the starter in 2022? There's a good chance of that. So
yeah,
you better hope he's good. But, like, I mean, you're only a year away from a significant role for him, so I get that. I was stunned. It's funny because – so we do these things the Athletic had us do these things, basically, like, project ahead the next day. Like, what picks could they be looking at the next day? So we'll post that at night. Like, here you go, Titans fans. This is what they're maybe. And I had Monty Rice as a day three guy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, we know John Robinson loves SEC players. I reject out of hand this, like, oh, he's from Georgia and Isaiah Will. Whatever. You keep going to Georgia, you'll probably find a good football player or two over the years. So I just couldn't believe it was that day. Actually, by the way, I had Rashad Weaver on that day three list, too.
Look at you.
And a bunch of people who they didn't pick. But, hey, that was the surprising pick of the draft for me, for sure. And it's a very interesting one, too. You know, my question for them after that was, like, what's the confidence level in Rashawn Evans? And it was like, very high.
Mm-hmm.
And today they're working through, you know, whether or not he's going to have his fifth-year option, which we all know he's not going to get his fifth-year option.
Yeah, they're working through the fifth-year option for Rashawn Evans is like John Robinson looking at the clock and saying, all right, it's passed, cool. Everybody go home. Have a good day.
Yeah, there won't be a
press. No working through.
There won't be a presser when he doesn't get his fifth-year option today. So it's an interesting situation at that position. I mean, is Monty Rice a guy who could come in and push Rashawn Evans? I'd be kind of surprised by that. Rashawn Evans took a step back last year, but it's not like Rashawn Evans never makes plays or has no value. I mean, I thought Rashawn Evans in 2019 was trending in a pretty good direction. So
me too.
You got David Long in there. You got Jayon Brown. But, I mean, I think Brown and Evans are probably in their last years with the Titans in 21. So you do have to get someone in there. I thought it would be a little later or maybe even potentially next year. If it turns out that Rice is raring and ready to go as a starter after having a year as an understudy, then it'll look better then.
Yeah. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kelton texting in, not a good draft for the Titans. If you look around the division, two teams got a whole lot better. Take a guess at who? I would guess Indianapolis and Jacksonville.
I'm guessing not the Texans.
Yeah, not
do they
the
have
Texans.
Any draft picks? They finally get a draft pick, and they take Davis Mills.
Yes.
Like, good start, Texans. Things are really going well in Houston. But
yes, they are.
Look, we knew the Jaguars were going to get a lot better. They had a bunch of picks, and they went 1-15. They drafted Trevor Lawrence. Also, they might have Tim Tebow coming in.
Wow, I saw that.
Imagine that.
Tebow playing tight end.
Oh, boy. But, you know, the Colts, I like some of what they did, too. I like Deone Igbo. I mean, the Colts have drafted well. I mean, Chris Ballard has been a good GM. I think Chris Ballard and John Robinson both have been good GMs. It's a nice little GM rivalry.
Yeah.
So we'll see whose you know, class turns out better. I mean, I think overall, I liked the Titans' class pretty well. I liked a couple of their picks a ton. But I was surprised in the linebacker. I was surprised that there's no tight end we're going to be talking about today in the draft class.
Yeah, that was kind of the biggest thing for me is the tight end position not addressed in the draft. So that kind of leaves me scratching my head and saying, all right, what does this mean if you're the Titans? Does this mean you have an incredible amount of faith in Anthony Firkser? And maybe they do. Or could there be maybe a trade coming later this offseason or a free agent pickup coming later this offseason that you could address if you're the Tennessee Titans? I did find it, I guess, peculiar is the right word, that they did not draft a tight end at all during this draft.
Now, that one of their undrafted free agents was Briley Moore, Kansas State.
Yep.
That's a good pickup. I mean, he was expected to be drafted. So, I mean, that's a guy who I think has a shot. We've talked about Jared Pinkney. I asked John Robinson about Michael Pruitt, and he left the door open on that. I still think that that's possible. I mean, it seems like they're moving on from Pruitt, but that's a possibility. And I'm with you. Maybe there is a trade out there. I mean, my gosh, John Robinson used to work for Jason Light. They're buddies. I think Jason Light would send him O.J. Howard,
maybe
for whatever. I don't know what that would take. But he's still on a rookie deal, and he's talented, and doesn't get a lot of play right now with the Bucks. Maybe Light would send Ryan Succop too. There's another thing that
I'll tell you what.
There's another thing the Titans are lacking right now is that kicker. I mean, the kicker situation is right now. You're talking about they got the kid from Ohio State who was good. And they got Tucker McCann competing. That is the kicking situation right now. I don't know that that's all that comforting.
What do you think about Des Fitzpatrick out of Louisville, the wide receiver taken in this draft? You knew at some point they were going to draft wide receiver. You got Racy McGrath later in the draft as well. But a lot of what I hear about Des Fitzpatrick, people like.
You know, I mean, I like Des. The crazy thing is, as soon as they drafted him, I'm like, gosh, I totally forgot about that dude.
Yeah.
He's like the 33rd ranked receiver by Brugler.
Yeah.
But it's like, he's good.
Yeah.
I mean, for 4 years, he's a good player. The guy averaged 19.1 a catch last year. He averaged 16.8 a catch in his career. Tutu Atwell was the star of that receiving core last year. Good size. I mean, 6'2", 208, he runs. I mean, you know, they like him as a blocker. I don't mind the pick at all. Now, if you go by the – like, again, Brugler had him as a 6th, 7th round grad. They moved up to 109 to get him. Hey, it's not bad, you know. It's not bad. Like, I look at that guy and I say, you know, if that guy comes in and does, you know, does everything that the Titans want him to do, why can't he be something in the realm of a Corey Davis?
Well, it's interesting now because you think – I mean, I would assume he's going to slot in there as one of their top three guys. So you've got A.J. Brown, Des Fitzpatrick at 6'2", Josh Reynolds at 6'3". We talked about how last year at times their receiving room was like a bunch of Smurfs out there. They're small. A little bit more size at wide receiver, at least with your top three this year.
Yep. Little Cam Batson's going to be just, you know, everybody's going to be towering over Cam. And he felt all comfortable last year with Humphreys and Khalif Raymond around.
Yeah.
Now he's going to be towered over. So, yeah, they ended up not doing the slot thing. They don't do the dedicated slot thing. Hey, right there in the third round, where they take Monty Rice, Amari Rogers from Clemson is there. He's that classic slot guy. Maybe just a smidge below Elijah Moore and Rondale Moore and some of those guys, you know, as far as what the upside is, but a darn good player. They don't go there. They go with big receivers. Now, Racy McGrath is interesting, too, to me. Clearly, the special teams aspect is a big thing with him.
Sure.
But great size and great speed. I mean, he is a burner. You know, he was finally a starter this year at LSU. I mean, it's hard to knock a guy because he couldn't start over like Jamar Chase,
Justin Jefferson,
you know. So, I mean, it's an interesting situation. I probably at other schools he has a lot more production than this, but I don't hate that pick either in the sixth round. Going to help you on special teams, back of the room guy, but maybe even a guy that you can sneak in there for some vertical stuff like you did with Khalif Raymond.
Yeah. So we are off and running today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Right now discussing the NFL draft for the Tennessee Titans, and that introduces our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. What would be your initial grade for the Titans 2021 draft class? Would it be an A, a B, a C, or the final option is D or worse? Let us know. You can vote on that poll at 1025 The Game on Twitter. You can also respond on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. How much better do we think the Titans are after this draft? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
John, this defense is going to look so much different from last year. Why was it so important to make changes in this unit?
No, I mean, I think that anytime you go into free agency and the draft and there's roster turnover every year, and we added players in free agency there after the season was over. We added some guys this weekend via the draft and excited to get to work with all these guys, you know, whatever, we can get back and get rolling.
That was Titans general manager John Robinson discussing the changes made on the defensive side of the ball, both in free agency and in the draft as well. Certainly going to look a lot different on that side of the ball for the Tennessee Titans this year, and Joe, it's probably a good thing based on what we saw last year on that side of the ball. So we'll see what ends up happening, how that shakes out for the Titans on the defensive side of the ball. Right now, talking NFL draft, taking your thoughts on the Titans. What did you think of their draft? What grade would you give the Titans and how they handled the 2021 NFL draft? That is our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. The options are an A, a B, a C, or the final option would be D or worse. Right now, very early in the voting, 53% say they'd give the Titans a B, 32% say C, 10% say D or worse, and only 5% going A. So some tough graders so far, Titans fans.
Yeah, I figure B, C will dominate here. I would give B my that would be my odds-on favorite to win. D or worse, 10%, huh?
My vote was
tough
C.
Tough graders.
It's hard for me to give above a C when you don't have a tight end. It's very difficult for me to do. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to get a tight end. The picture is still, I guess, incomplete on that front. But
we're just grading
the draft.
Yeah,
that's all I'm doing. So I gave a C for this draft. Also, I think it is a bit of a risk with Caleb Farley in the first round with a back. So I'm going C. I'm going right down the middle. That's what we want.
Yeah,
here.
This is the first time I've thought about it from a grade perspective. I'm conflicted between C plus and B minus. I go C plus.
Okay.
Be a little bit.
That's not an option in the poll question. That's okay.
No. Okay, that's true. I guess if I'm sticking to the poll rules.
You're struggling.
I go B.
Okay.
I'll be more sunshiny than you.
Ryan Porth, what did you think of the Titans draft? The 2021 draft by John Robinson and company. You get Caleb Farley in the first round. You pick up a wide receiver later on in the draft. Pass rusher, no tight end. You did take an offensive tackle in the second round. What did you think of the draft as a whole for the Titans?
Wasn't a huge fan of it, to be completely honest. I would give them a C, but I would probably lean like a flat C or a C minus. You know, I'm sure Raidens is going to be a good tackle. But that, to me, is where the Isaiah Wilson pick hurts the most.
Yep.
Is that you didn't pick a receiver or a pass rusher with that pick because you had to recover from the Isaiah Wilson disaster last year. So, I mean, the passer, I don't know what Rashad Weaver's going to be in the NFL. I mean, we were all, who was the Georgia kid a couple years ago that they drafted that just completely flamed out?
DeAndre Walker.
People thought that was a good value pick in the fourth or fifth round, too, and he did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no guarantee that Rashad Weaver is going to be anything as a pass rusher. So I felt like they, again, did not put a lot of value on the pass rush position, did not put a ton of value on adding a lot of depth to the receiver room. So, I think McMath is going to be mostly a special teams player and not really a receiver. If he makes the roster. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there are some good players. Monty Rice, I'm sure, is there for 2022 and beyond because of the question of Evans and Brown.
Yep.
But overall, I wasn't that impressed with the draft class.
I think it's fair. I don't think you're going to be alone on that standpoint as well. I mean, it was surprising to me that they waited as long as they did to address edge rusher. Now, to your point, I mean, if the board tells you to draft a certain way, that's the way you got to draft. And we talked about that heading into the draft. But I did find it strange that they waited that long to address that position when we talked about there's just so little depth there at the moment.
Yeah, and I agree. And, there's no guarantee of anything. I just really like the Weaver pick. I've watched a lot of Weaver in college. ACL. So there's another guy with – but he came back from that this year and was really good. You know, 7.5 sacks, 14.5 tackles for loss, 9 games. Versatile. He's physical. He sets the edge. As a 3, to get him in the 5th round, I mean, he's got to prove it. He's got to do it. But I like his chances to be a pretty good 3 And that's what they needed. They needed a three, and maybe they need more than that if Dupree isn't ready to go right away. But I think that they saved it. I mean, to me, that pick and Elijah Molden are the two picks that I like the most.
Elijah Molden's a good pick. I really like that Elijah Molden pick. And look, if Caleb Farley works out and Elijah Molden can come in and play some important snaps for you, I mean, you feel a lot better about cornerback. I mean, I was interested to see how quickly they took two corners. It was going to be shocking to me if they got through this draft and they didn't take two corners. To take two corners in the top 100, I really like the Elijah Molden pick.
Yeah, and it tells you that when you look at the free agent signings, you know, Kevin Johnson's a depth guy,
yes.
So that's good.
Yes, that is good.
You know, the quicker he's not starting, the better for this team. And it also tells you that, you know, Janoris Jenkins is a quick fix pickup. I think he's going to start this year, but they now have their corner group, the intended corner group of the future, which is Fulton, Farley, and Molden. They all have to work out, and we don't know with any of them if they'll work out, but at least they now have it set. They've set a course. And Porth, to your point, that's a good point on Isaiah Wilson. It's a do-over for that. Now, I think Monty Rice is a do-over for Rashawn Evans, and that's a disappointing thing. You moved up to get him in 2018, and now you're already moving, you know, you're
preparing to draft, just move on from
him. Yeah, you're making a significant pick on the next guy.
I think a lot of Titans fans are going to be judging not the entire draft class, but they are going to be zeroing in on that Monty Rice pick and also looking at Amari Rodgers in Green Bay, because you trade back and you don't get Amari Rodgers, who I've always thought it was a really, really good receiver at Clemson, can play in this league, and you pass up on Rodgers, you trade back and get Rice, and then you trade up and give up two picks to get Fitzpatrick. I think that's going to be a key swing in the draft to see how that plays out.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe from Maryland texting in, should anyone be surprised about this Titans draft? It's always mediocre and not fan-pleasing. I'd say a C for the grade. So Joe, not very happy with the drafts, gives it a C, says mediocre for the Titans.
This is initial, so I'm trying to think back year after year. None of their drafts have been fan-pleasing in the moment.
I mean, the 2019 one was pretty good.
Well, the 2019 one now looks great. I mean, you just hit the one pick that wasn't good, DeAndre Walker.
Yeah.
I mean, their fourth-round pick, Imani Hooker, is a starter now. I mean, that was a great draft. But in the moment, I thought that kind of excited people, right, with Simmons.
I thought so.
A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown.
Yeah. Obviously, that looks – I mean, frankly, like the reality of that pick is way beyond the excitement at the time.
Let's be honest.
It was a good pick.
Corey Davis excited people when they drafted him fifth overall. They're like, oh, yeah.
Corey Davis.
Titans have found their stud here.
And Adoree Jackson is going to be best return man of the league.
Yeah.
There's been excitement. There was excitement after 2016. You know, you get Derrick Henry and this – oh, Kevin Dodd. Oh, yeah. Off the edge. Get out of here, man. No, I think they've had it – I think that this excitement for this class is among the lowest of his six, I would say.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ty text in, Pro Football Focus has the class as an A. Most experts say it's solid, but it definitely didn't excite me much. Well, we know Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, they didn't list Dez Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, I was just reading off the list to begin with of Titans draft picks, and I got through it, and I was like, they're missing somebody here. Oh, yeah, Dez Fitzpatrick. Not even on the list for Pro Football Focus. So
someone,
there you go.
Someone on NFL.com Saturday morning grading the first two nights of the draft gave the Titans an A, but they also didn't give any other team outside of like two lesser than a B.
Oh, that's great.
So it's like, we love every pick that's ever been made in the draft.
The greatest draft class in NFL history.
All the picks are good.
Yeah.
Yay. They're all NFL players. good job, Pro Football Focus. Like,
just leaving Dez Fitzpatrick off the list.
That just shows you like how much to trust their instant game grades.
Yes.
You know, they watch like half the plays.
Just totally forget someone's out there playing. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I really like the Dez Fitzpatrick pick. We'll see. I mean, this is going to be a draft class, especially. I mean, even starting with your first round pick, you would like for your first round pick to come in and be as close to a sure thing as you can have. I don't think that's the case with Caleb Farley. Now, I think the potential is there for him to be great. I think he's got the potential to be an awesome player for the Titans moving forward. But how's that back going to hold up? I mean, there's questions with this draft beginning from the first pick.
Yeah.
And that's a, you know, I think it's exciting in one degree that if it works out, it looks really good for John Robinson and the Titans. I think also if you're a Titans fan, that can make you very nervous that it's a risk like this for Caleb Farley.
Well, and look, the second round pick didn't expect a tackle to go that fast. Once you do that, Ray Duns, I can look at this offensive line and say, man, if this breaks well for them and he's really good, now you got your young, good right tackle next to your rising, really good right guard. You got Saffold and Lawan over there. That's a really good line, but that's how it's got to work out. I mean, you take him there, he needs to beat out Kendall Lamb pretty quickly and be the starter.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. CD text in. Titans draft grade, a C. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus.
Nice.
All right. We'll see what happens on that front.
And what is your grade?
Yeah, CD, you got to tell us your grade if you're going to rebuke a C. Is it an A? Is it a B? What is it?
Or is he saying it's an F?
Maybe
F minus, and the C is way too high.
That's maybe so. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans all show long. We've got a lot to get to on that front, including to begin the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to rank the individual picks on our own grading scale that Joe Rexroad has come up with as well. That coming up at 7 o'clock. When we come back, we're going to get into the Nashville Predators. A massive win for the Predators against the Dallas Stars on Saturday night. We'll react to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Ekholm down the left wing. Ekholm goes behind the net. They can wrap around, and it's tipped in the net. Erik Haula is there, and the Predators win it overtime.
Well, what a game. I think, you know, both teams were going to come in and play as hard as they could. I thought it was a hard-fought battle by both teams. Wasn't a lot of room on the ice, lots of physicality. I thought both goaltenders played really well. Playoff-style game, playoff-style atmosphere. Our fans were fantastic. And, you know, just like the fact that we were able to find a way to win and stay with it against a really good team. And it was a good night for us.
A big win for the Nashville Predators on Saturday night against the Dallas Stars. They get it done 1-0 in overtime. In a great environment at Bridgestone Arena. It felt like the playoffs in there. And the Predators, they stick with it, and they find a way to beat Anton Hudobin. Erik Haula with the game winner in overtime. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I do want to pass along, there has been a tornado warning issued for Rutherford and for Cannon counties until 7 a.m. So if you were in that area, know of people in that area, make sure you're taking cover. A tornado warning issued for Rutherford County and for Cannon County lasting until 7 a.m. So make sure that you're aware of that this morning. We've got some severe weather rolling through our area. Joe, you were at the game on Saturday night for the Predators against the Dallas Stars. And it's one of those things like you hear if you're just looking at the box score and you say a 1-0 overtime game, you're like, ugh, man, that's probably just a slugfest and not much action going on. I thought from an intensity level standpoint, I mean, it was absolutely like a playoff game. I thought it was entertaining from start to finish. Both goaltenders were awesome. UC Saros was great. Anton Hudobin was great. I mean, the Predators, I think they had a stretch in the second period and kind of halfway through the third as well where they just pinned Dallas in their own zone. They had shot after shot, chance after chance. Hudobin was awesome in those situations. And you just stuck with it. You find a way to make a play in overtime. Erik Haula finishes a chance after a great wraparound attempt by Mattias Ekholm. And I just thought an awesome game at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday night, an awesome environment as well. And that's a massive point to pick up on the Dallas Stars. Now 3 points ahead of the Stars with one game in hand.
It was great. It was a great game.
Four Stars.
Yeah, I got you. It was a great game. And I'm with you. It was enthralling for a 0-0 game. It was also physical. As that game is going on, I'm like, it'd be good for the Preds to not play this team again because they are talk about just begging to go on the IR with various – I mean, Roman Josi got smeared just like a bug on the glass, and that looked bad. We thought Tolvanen maybe took – you know, but those guys come back and – I thought that I thought Saros had some big saves, but I also thought that the defense around him was way better. They made
way
some
better
And I know it's going from Florida to Dallas. It's a different matchup. It's a different challenge. Probably not as challenging, but they were great in front of him too. And the Preds were the much better team in the third period, and I had some real chances. And I thought honestly, Matt Duchene was about as good as anyone in that game. Nothing to show for it, but if you watch the game.
Well, he should have had something to show for it.
That's true. Yeah. He could have had a few things to show for it, but he was all over the place. Not just making sweet passes, but he was active, man.
Yeah.
He actually kind of hit people a couple times.
He did.
So that was impressive on his part.
I mean, there was a pretty obvious buy-in level from everyone. I mean, Forsberg comes back in the lineup. Alex Carrier comes back in the lineup as well. Brad Richardson back in there. Nick Cousins, the odd man out in the forward group the other night. So you get some new bodies back in there. I thought Forsberg looked good for the most part. I mean, there's still, I think, a little bit of rust that he's going to have to knock off. But he still made some plays that you're watching him and you're like, all right, well, he's the only guy they have that can do that. I mean, it was good to see him come back in there and look, I think, as good as he did in a high-pressure playoff intensity style game like that. And to your point about the defense, Adam Vingan put this out from The Athletic after the game on Saturday night. On Monday against Florida in the 4-1 win, they gave up 21 shots in the slots. Florida had 27 in the slot on Tuesday when they won 7-4. They gave up 4 against Dallas on Saturday.
27-4.
27-4. That's a massive improvement. Now, to your point, the Dallas Stars are not the Florida Panthers, and I don't think anybody would confuse them for the Florida Panthers, especially without Tyler Seguin. But that's a pretty massive improvement defensively.
Like, I mean, Saro's got a shutout. It's his third of the year.
Yep.
14th of his career. Earned the shutout. Great job. But he was more impressive in the blowout loss to the Panthers.
I agree.
Yeah, he just was. Yep. I mean, he saw way more high danger. I mean, he had to make way more difficult saves in that game. So it was, yeah, that's a heck of a stat. And, I thought Carrier also made a difference with that team. You know, Forsberg, but immediately you see with Carrier, yeah, you know, that's a guy you want on the ice. That's a big return for them. And if they can get Fabro back, you know, you feel all right about the whole group there.
Yeah, you cannot have good Branson on the ice.
You're such a good Branson hater.
He was not good, man. This experiment needs to be over. I mean, he wasn't good last week heading into this game. I thought he was really bad Saturday night, not just with the chance he missed. I mean, he had a wide-open net for Matt Duchene, and that's the thing people are going to point to where he just totally whiffs on the puck. He's fumbling all over himself, tripping up in the offensive zone, gives up a chance on a breakaway that had no business being given up. I mean, it's just there's no reason for him to be in the lineup.
He threw some hands.
That's great.
Got in there and mixed it up a little bit. Yeah, you don't like
great.
That?
That's way to go. There's no reason for him to be in there. And when Fabro comes back, he's not going to be in there. So I'm interested to see how they handle that moving forward. There are a lot of bright spots for the Predators on Saturday night. He was not one of them. And if you look at the underlying numbers, it's not good. Not good for Eric Gudbranson. So we'll see what they do with that moving forward here. Ryan Porth, you were in the building on Saturday night for the game. What did you think of the game for the Predators, the response from the 7-4 loss to Florida on Tuesday, and the environment in the building as well?
Well, I was there with my dad and my wife, and I told both of them at the end of the third period, I said, this is one of the best 1-0 games that you could ask for.
Yep.
Like, it was intense as all get out. It felt like a playoff game in there, even though there weren't 17,000 people in there. It certainly felt like a playoff atmosphere. And I still couldn't get over yesterday morning just how good of a game that was, and the fact that you found a way to win that one. I mean, Jamie Benn's response after the hollow goal tells you everything you need to know about the way the Stars are going right now. I mean, he slashed his stick over the crossbar. Stars have been overrated all year, and the Preds, as long as they take care of business against Columbus, they are likely going to be headed to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, they're in good shape right now. You've got a 3-point lead on the Stars. You've got 2 coming up with Columbus. Columbus continues to just kind of pull the plug on the season. Now, that can also make a team very dangerous when you approach a matchup like that with nothing to lose. They're bringing up some of their young guys right now as well, just kind of giving a look at what they have at the future. And, you know, that could be really good news for the Predators. It could also be a very dangerous formula as well. So you've got to guard against that if you're this Predators team. But if you can win both of these games against Columbus, Dallas this week, they start with the Florida Panthers and then take on Tampa Bay twice. And Tampa Bay lost again over the weekend to Detroit, which I still can't figure out how that continues to happen for this group. Now, they did respond yesterday and get a win against the Red Wings, but Saturday they lose 1-0 in a shootout against the Red Wings. So they're going to have a lot to play for later this week against Dallas. Right now, Tampa Bay in second in the division. Technically, they have played one fewer game than Florida. So it's going to go right down to the wire with Carolina, Tampa Bay, and Florida. Carolina right now has a game in hand on Tampa and two games in hand on Florida, and they're at the top. So they're sitting pretty at the moment. But if you're the Predators, you can take care of business these two games against Columbus. I think you feel good about your chances.
You do. Now Dallas finishes with Chicago.
They do.
So while the Preds finish with Carolina, you know, I mean, if you're the Preds, you want it to be alive as a race while Tampa Bay plays Dallas, and then you want it to be dead as a race when you play Carolina. I still look at this, and with the game in hand, if Dallas can get it, get that win, you know, that 1 point against Chicago a couple weeks ago is still out there as a potential problem for you. You know, that 1 point that you lost, you know, when you gave up 3 goals in 2 minutes, 51 seconds. Don't mean to be the Grim Reaper, but I have thought about that point here, and yeah, it's not over.
No, it's not over. You've got to make sure you take care of business. And look, Dallas, I would assume this week they're getting Sagan back. I mean, he was, if you believe the reports out of Dallas, he was close on Saturday, and Rick Bowness, Stars coach, said he was, quote, very, very questionable for the game on Saturday. Now, obviously, he did not play, but if he was very, very questionable on Saturday, my guess would be that he's close, and you're probably going to see him at some point this week. How big of a difference can that make for the Stars offensively, who have now been shut out in two consecutive games? I mean, they're going to have to find a way to score some goals here. So it's going to be very fascinating this week to see how that team responds. If you're the Predators, you can't worry about that. You just got to take care of your own business. And we'll take your thoughts, continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. On the Predators, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And also get to a player who I think is very encouraging for the Predators moving forward as they come down the stretch. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This hour of Robbie and Rexroad is brought to you by Trane. Get a great deal this spring on a new Trane heating and cooling system. At Trane, they test so it runs. Visit traneinfo.com to find your local dealer and learn more. It's hard to stop a Trane.
Make sure you're tuning in later on in the show as we reveal a keyword for you to text into the game line for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Homegate giveaway, a Dos Equis prize pack including a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. We'll have that opportunity coming up for you a little bit later here in the show. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the Nashville Predators, a massive win for the Predators on Saturday against the Stars. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, I do want to pass along some breaking news very quickly. This coming from Adam Schefter. The Titans have informed Drew Rosenhaus that they will not be exercising Rashawn Evans' fifth-year option due to ongoing salary cap uncertainty and instead hope to sign Rashawn to a contract extension before his current deal expires in 2022. This coming from Rosenhaus.
That's interesting. That's an interesting, I wonder how often teams say stuff like that.
Yeah.
But usually it's just like they picked it up or they didn't pick it up. So Rosenhaus is telling Schefter that they said they'd like him to sign him to a deal. Now, I would add, depending on how he plays this year.
Yeah.
The thing is, who knows? I mean, he could be real good this year. You know, last year's step back, he could take a big step forward this year. He's got the tools to be good. But that's interesting And I'd love to know how he feels about that right at this moment.
I would as well, and we'll continue to get to that a little bit later in the show. Got a lot to get to today with the Tennessee Titans. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Predators, a big win against the Stars. And, Joe, you mentioned it last segment. A player who I thought was excellent on Saturday night, Matt Duchene. And he looked engaged. He looked like he was attacking. He was very confident with the puck. I mean, there was a play he made at the blue line where he's kind of got his back to the Dallas player, and he just spun around, put him on a top, and just spun around, got back to the middle of the ice, made a great pass toward the middle. Probably could have shot it there, but made a great play towards the middle of the ice there. And it was just kind of example after example on Saturday night of Matt Duchene playing really well. Now, to your point, he did not get rewarded on the score sheet, and that, and we've talked about that a lot this year, that's got to change at some point. He should have been rewarded at least with an assist. He did make a perfect pass to Gudbranson with a wide-open net, and he just whiffed on it, but that's a discussion for another time. But I think it's really, really encouraging coming down the stretch. If that's the level and the version of Matt Duchene that you're going to get coming down the stretch here, he's going to find the back of the net. Like, he's going to be a productive player if he continues to play that way. I was really encouraged by how well he played on Saturday night.
Yeah, you noticed him every time. I mean, that was their best line all night, I think, you know, really. And he was the driving force. So it was very encouraging. Look, I think he's played well since he's been back, but I thought he even had just a little bit extra, you know, burst Saturday. So if that's what it's going to be, like you said, there's going to be a payoff.
Gover time on Twitter. Our friend Jeremy K. Gover says, it's pretty sad when 2 points in seven games is heating up. I promise I don't mean to be cantankerous here, but saying an $8 million player is heating up when he's got 2 points since his return is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, it's again, like, it's just like this game. There were no goals. So, did they play hockey?
They did.
Did anyone play well in the game with no points at all? No one had any points to show for it. I'd say that there were players who played well. I mean, I hear what Gover's saying. The big picture is absolutely the same. And it's the same with Johansson. Like, I thought Johansson played well the other night. I think Johansson's doing – he's playing the full, complete game.
It was a nice response from the two Florida games where I thought he was pretty bad.
But he's also the same thing. He's being paid to do more than that. And Duchene is being paid to produce and to hit the score sheet. So it's a small sample size here, but I think Duchene is, the process is working out. Like, he's doing the things that give you a chance to be on the score sheet. Got to bury some, but I thought as a creator of chances the other night in a game with very few of them, in a defensive, tight-checking, playoff kind of game, I thought he was good. That was really good.
Yeah, I thought he was too. And again, if you play that way moving forward, I think you're going to like your results more often than not on the ice. I thought he was really good. You know, with Forsberg coming back in there, I was interested to see kind of where everybody would be shuffled and where they'd be slotted. Now, you know, Arvidsson not being available, I think, changes that too. So yeah, I think it was easy for John Hines just to say, all right, Forsberg, you're going back in where Arvidsson was, and you're just rolling with that top line of Johansson, Forsberg, and Tolvanen. As Arvidsson becomes available, and he is day-to-day right now with an upper body injury, so at least he did not get designated the week-to-week that we've seen some of these guys get designated at this point, so I'll be interested to see when he comes back. But I thought that line of, you know, even Richardson coming in. I mean, Richardson, to me, honestly, when he was activated and he was in the game, I was surprised by that. Like, I didn't think that Richardson, with this lineup being healthy, was going to really have a role with this group, because I like the way Cousins was playing on that line with Hall and Duchene. Obviously, you're not touching that fourth line right now with the way that they've been playing, so I was kind of surprised to see him in there on Saturday. I thought he played okay. I'm interested to see what they do with that moving forward.
Yeah, I meant to say something earlier. You said, so Cousins was designated with an illness.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think Richardson would have been in.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not. I don't know.
But he was fine. I mean, I think if Cousins is healthy, he'll be back. And then if Arvidsson is healthy, then I think Cousins is out again, right?
I think.
You can't mess with the herd line. No.
Wasn't Cousins sick?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just said that.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
As Darren McFarland says, is this mic working?
This thing on?
I mean, it tells you all you need to know about the Herd Line is they were out there with like 45 seconds left in regulation the other night. 0-0 game. It's a game that you pretty much got to have if you're the Predators. And John Hines is like, all right, there's 40 seconds left on the clock. Herd Line, go out there. That would not happen in the past, I can promise you.
Yeah.
So that tells you pretty much everything you need to know about the trust level that John Hines has in that line specifically. You came out with an article yesterday morning on The Athletic, kind of detailing how the Predators have changed their season around to this point, with some interesting comments in there. Colton Sissons was in that piece, Ryan Johansson in that piece as well. And I think Saturday night kind of the culmination of what we've seen over the last couple of months where the Predators have turned this thing around and have put themselves in this position here. Now 3 points up on the Stars, heading into the final full week of the regular season here. I thought an interesting piece, including some interesting comments by Ryan Johansson as well.
Yeah, I got to write about Robbie Stanley in my piece. That was
it's always good, exciting.
Got to give you and Hammer, Kara Hammer, some love. Hammer with the Herd Line. It's Herd Line all the way, by the way. So, sorry, Hal Gill. Beast Line is very bleh, whatever.
I agree.
Beast is overused. Herd Line is brilliant. But, yeah, Johansson and Colton Sissons shed some light. A lot of credit to John Hines for how he handled the whole situation. You know, you're always trying to find, like, the Newt Rockne speech or the, you know, the moment where it all turned around, like in the movies. You know, there wasn't one, but a lot of the same stuff we've talked about. Young guys come in, people get injured, they kind of set the standard. But it was interesting to hear from those guys. They knew how close this thing was to being, you know, to being totally torn apart. Yeah. They expected it. We expected it. And they bounced back from the brink. So, there's still big questions about where things are going and big questions about how far away this team is to really contend. But at this point, I'd say people should enjoy this team. I mean, sports is entertainment, and this team is entertaining right now.
They are.
They're fun, and they are playing really well. And I think that even if you're a Preds fan who doesn't like a lot of things and where they've been going, I think you should enjoy this. And this is since the Dallas series 2019, I was thinking about this and I wrote it in the piece. I mean, it's really been a negative trend for two straight years.
Yep.
So the last 6 weeks is the first, you know, the first bounce back the other way, really, in 2 years. Now, how far does that go? I don't know. But I'm interested to see these guys if they can get in and to see if they can push someone in that first round at least, and then obviously what's to come in the off season. But it's been a heck of a ride, and really quite a surprise.
It has been, and we'll see if the Predators can keep that ride going this week, starting against Columbus tonight. We'll have Predators Pick to Click coming up at 8:45 as well. When we come back, we'll get back into the NFL draft with the Tennessee Titans. We will rate the individual draft picks on our own grading scale coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.